Hello, hello, hello. What's up, classmates? Welcome to another episode of Classic Black Dude with your host, Clark Jones, a.k.a. Pod Strickland. And I got through a whole intro pretty smoothly, not because I haven't done this in a while. I mean, I've hit every Richter of the depression scale. It's been tough. Everything. People don't even ask how I'm holding up. I'm not holding up most of the time. Ever since two brothers got lynched in Southern California, that's been the hardest part about this whole thing. I'm like, Southern California, why? 50 miles outside of Los Angeles. So it's almost triggering if somebody says, how you holding up? And I'm like, oh, no. That's not the correct wordology. Also, wordology is not the correct wordology, but whatever. I feel like as a black man, I can get away with a few more things now in this climate that we're in. Speaking of climate, it's hot as fuck in Los Angeles. I just wish it would rain once. I rain serves as sort of like a therapy for me. Like, it gives me a sense of calm. Like, ever since I was a kid, I would just look forward to it raining. I would just be so happy that other people also weren't outside. I hate when people are outside having fun, but I also don't like going outside with other people. I don't know. Maybe this is the real me. Maybe this is just COVID-based. So many things going on in Black Dude News. Speedy recovery to D.O. Hughley, who I have worked with before, passed out due to COVID concerns on stage. It's a lot. I can't cover everything, so I'm glad to have my guest on here, Miss Julia Rossi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for sitting through that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt weird because I laughed at some of it and then felt really bad at other parts.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot that you and I have to talk about. It's almost this interview or this talk is almost past due in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we have good talks.
We have good talks offline. And I was like, well, we could just have one on air.
I mean, why write in your diary when you can get a bunch of retweets, you know? It's
also, or subscribe. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button. Have you seen that video?
Which video?
He just goes on his diatribe, like, go ahead and fondle that that like button. Go ahead and go ahead and cradle that. it's just making fun of people. Because we all do that in the same intonation. Hey, go ahead and smash that like button.
Yeah.
I forget what user that is, but it's very fucking funny. And you need funny right now. You need funny all the time. And I'm not going to put any pressure on Julia to speak on behalf of all women comics. But yo, as a woman in comedy.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Last year, 2019, there was, I don't know if you were at my house when we were talking about this, but there was all these like predictions, sort of, you know, like witchy woo-woo websites talking about 2020.
Oh, witchy woo-woo. Oh yeah, witchy woo.
You know, like witchywoo.com, you know, like people who own crystals, like my husband. And and I think you might have a couple as well. But
I have had some, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you live in California, you're not allowed to live. I think it's like 3 crystals minimum per person.
It's almost like people assume 3 things with blonde hair that I have. I have crystals, I hike, and I've dated at least 3 women that claim to be witches.
Okay, all, perfect.
All true, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
As a white woman, what's up with the witch shit? What's up?
Well, first of all, it's not just white women, because one of my favorite websites is called Hoodwitch, and it's run by black women.
Hey.
Yeah, it's really fucking cool.
Witchy woo woo.
Yeah, witchywoo.com. Witchy woo 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 woo.
Just black witches.
But Witchy woo woo woo.
Witchy woo woo woo. Woo woo woo.
It's an En Vogue. It's an En Vogue cover band.
Witchy woo 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 woo. .com. Like that was new.
What is supposedly happening
I'm going to laugh at witchy woo-woo intermittently throughout this whole podcast.
Yeah, let's just, woo, we should also woo. See if we can buy the domain.
Witchy can you woo-woo-woo. Wow. Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
So,
you were making a real point.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you believe. But is this a real point? I think it is. 2020, we're going to go into the age of Aquarius. I can't remember when. An age of Aquarius is feminine energy, and we've been living in masculine energy for a very long time. I don't know the exact numbers, but every prediction about this year was like a huge reckoning coming, really the mask being lifted off society, lots of conflict, all leading to a shift in consciousness. So that was like, I'm going to send you this thing. It was like really creepy because I reread it recently and it basically predicted this whole year. So that mentality is what I keep trying to maintain because this year's outrageous and it's not even half over.
Absolutely. Do you believe in that ideology that like the end of something is when you see it the most? Like, this is the end of masculinity, so you're saying the most toxic, almost like the series episode where it's like the most things are happening because it's ended.
Here's the truth. Nothing ever really ends because there's always going to be some pieces of shit that keep it going. You know, but I do think, I don't know. I feel like I'm just watching like bowling pins being knocked down left and right. And it is like, it's wild. Like, this is a wild time.
It's never without something happening to the point where serious things get buried. Murder hornets, haven't heard about in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they probably were like, we're going to wait.
You know, they're going through enough right now.
Yeah, they're like,
they got enough on their plate.
They're like, we'll come back next year.
Like, just a murderer. just like nobody cares. Nobody. I'm a murder hornet. You already are scared of hornets. I'm also murderous. And everybody's like, oh God, when can I go to the mall?
Oh God. Well, that is part of, I mean, that's one of the mind fucks of this, because So I'm pregnant and I also have a hypochondriac husband. And so we are going nowhere. And so I do feel like a lot of this has been a bit of a spectator sport for me because, like, you know, I wouldn't even call it a protest. It was holding a sign on the street, people honking and us, you know, but it was people honking being like, great job. And I'm like, thanks, you too, you know.
You too. As they speed away.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I'm trying to do all I can for all the things I can from home. But, you know, then I also am trying to take advantage of getting decent sleep this month, maybe, before the baby comes. And
it's scary.
You know,
scary, it's like, to have judgment-free sleeping time like this is scary to me. Like,
how so? Nobody,
well, just like the habit of it, where like, I could sleep till 3, and sometimes I do, but you can't judge me for it on a number of levels, you know.
Yeah.
Do you get that as a pregnant woman? Like,
well, I'm not sleeping very well. I'm in the insomnia stage because I can't get comfortable, and I'm starting to have anxiety of, oh my God, this is happening and I'm responsible.
Right.
And it's going to hurt.
And it could last a long time. Just the delivery.
Oh my God. Yesterday we had our birthing class online and the birthing class was almost 7 hours. I'm like, is this is more painful than fucking contractions.
7 hours?
It was so long. Yeah.
Is that the same as Lamaze?
The breathing and Lamaze stuff was like a very small portion. It actually was a lot about anatomy, and me and like Will, I mean, I keep saying my husband, it's your best friend.
they know.
Will and I, Will and I were like, wow. So this month I learned thing about Black history in school. And I also learned nothing about the female anatomy in school. And right. I have female anatomy. Like, we were like in this class being like, what? Like, they're showing us diagrams and photos. I'm like, that's not my body. Like, I was just freaking out. We know nothing. We've been taught nothing useful.
Just pregnant people going, ew.
But like between this birthing class and all the Black history, and then Will just started gardening. So we've been like reading a lot about gardening. I'm like, these are the things I should have learned about in school. Like, man. The fuck did long division do for me?
Not a damn thing.
Not a damn thing.
Shapes, I don't care. I don't care what it doesn't fit in the other thing. I don't care. It doesn't help at all.
No.
What have you learned any surprising Black history facts or knowledge?
Oh yeah. I mean, well, okay. I'm not gonna say I didn't know about Juneteenth because I also have a really for some reason, history facts do not stick in my brain. And I don't know if that's just a symptom of this new world of easy access. So like now that there's Google, I'm sure things have left my brain. But Juneteenth and the Tulsa Massacre, I feel like I knew a little bit about it, but not that much. But I also remember as a kid, well, I mean, you know, I went to like a traditional suburban high school where like Black history was just, we watched the same MLK documentary every February. Yeah. And then I'd raise my hand and be like, those hoses look painful. And they'd be like, yeah, anyways, next up, Columbus, you
fast
know?
Forward.
Yeah. And it was also, my history teachers were always also the football coach. So they would like wear a whistle.
Oh, wow.
And like kind of yell facts at you. So it wasn't like I really learned through discussion and debate.
Mm-hmm.
And so in school, when I was just being told facts about history, I remember like I would always raise my hand and be like, I don't understand. What do you mean the rules of war? Like war seems lawless. And they would be like, anyways, and like not engage with. So I think a lot of times because I thought that history was so unfair.
Yeah.
I like refuse to learn it. Does that make any sense?
You know, it does. It does. Two things. One, thus a stand-up comedian was born. asking questions in front of an audience. Two.
And not getting an answer.
People just laughing and agreeing with what they already believe. Second, I hated history until I grew as an adult and I had to teach it. Because I got to teach it in my own kind of way because of how whitewashed it was.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. I don't even know where, for anybody who's seen me do a set, I tend to be pro-Black.
I mean, I would hope you would be.
I tend to talk about pro-Black issues. I've been called militant in some reviews, left on cards at comedy clubs, but I just don't know where it came from. This sense of like something wasn't right with the history that I was being taught. And like the first time I read something independently that went against what was in being taught in history class, it was over after that. It's like I get a little drop of insincerity, a little drop of you're lying to me, and then everything you said before that is questioned.
Yeah, because like I remember learning about what the Pilgrims really did.
Yeah.
And bringing it up and then being like, so if everyone for Thanksgiving could draw a turkey and write five things you're grateful for. And I'm like, yeah, but what about the massacres? And they're like, Julia, could you please stop talking?
We would get quizzes on everything except that paragraph they talked about the itch blankets. And the chicken pox and all that, it would be a paragraph. We would read it and then get a quiz on what year did he discover? You know, just like, so the other shit don't matter. Like,
yeah,
we don't have to retain that knowledge at all. Like, it wasn't until older when I started teaching global history, which America does not teach. You really have to learn what happened in the rest of the world on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you probably learned more world history at home from having Italian parents, right?
A little bit. I mean, like, I learned about Mussolini because my mom loved telling the story about how, like, her, it's so funny, like, you know, I would be complaining about, like, not getting a pair of Z Cavariccis at the mall, and she'd be like, oh, I remember when, I was too young, but my mother had to carry me out of the war zone when Mussolini attacked, and I'm like, oh man,
I love different lives. I love her self edits. I don't remember what I was too young to remember.
Yeah.
But I've been told many times.
Well, she's honest, you know. I learned a little bit, I guess, world history from. I wouldn't say having immigrant parents taught me more world history, but it taught me more about world etiquette and like societal kind of habits. Like, I don't know, you bring a gift to someone's house when you visit, you know.
Oh, okay. It's more cultural.
Yeah, you serve a lot of food.
You always offer coffee after as a host.
And it was really interesting. I've talked about this on so many podcasts recently just because everyone's sort of talking a lot about like race and culture and all this stuff. And what I always thought was funny growing up. So like, I know I'm white, obviously. I'm not going to be an Italian that's like, but actually, like, I get all the benefits. No, I am in a category where like, depending on what I'm wearing and where I am, I can fit into a lot of places.
Absolutely.
You know,
somebody said, if you look white, you are white.
Right. But my parents, because they were Italian immigrants, they would sort of refer to like very white Americans, like that mayonnaise sort of MAGA crowd white, as like American. And it was kind of an insult to be like if we went to a party and all they put out was chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, it's American. No values.
Just flavorless.
Flavorless. That's why it's so funny to me when you see these videos of these pasty, fucking fat, ugly pieces of shit telling people to go back to where they came from. And I'm like, you have no culture. Where do you come from? Cracker Barrel? Like, Right. Like you have, you are so cultureless, you know, like your culture is being a patriot. Like, what does that even mean? And it makes me so sad because like, the American flag has been like taken away from half the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
When I found out the Confederacy was only 4 years long, I lost my mind.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I know nothing.
The Confederacy lasts from 1861 to 1865. This is the culture, this is the history people are holding on to.
But I think it's a much smaller demographic of people than we realize. It's just, they're just the loudest. They're so loud.
I would agree, except going to college in the South, like in Atlanta, they really cling to it. That was
very ignorant of me because I grew up in Boston, East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm white. Okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's like Chicago people talking about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
People in the South talking about the Confederacy. So like nobody's even bringing it up and it's masked. You know, one thing, we got to take a quick break real quick and we're going to talk about more stuff. The conversation's going by so fast because yeah, Julia Rozzi and this is my sister. Y'all, this is all that. We're talking a lot of things. We're talking so far culture and witchywoo.com. We're going to talk more. We're going to talk more about everything that's going on right now here on Classic Black Dude with your host, Clark Jones, a.k.a. Pod Strickland. And we are back. I was going to ask you a question about what's going on, these statues getting toppled. And as an Italian, does any part of you feel a little fucked up about Columbus getting beheaded and knocked off like that?
No, I've never. It is so embarrassing that that is the hero that Italian people have chosen when there are people like me.
Yeah.
When there are
Pico Fermi. Like,
no, but like, I don't know. I'd rather see a statue of like a bowl of pasta. Like that's what, you know, literally like, what do you think of when you think of Italians? You think of good food.
Somebody would have a problem with that. I don't
know.
Well,
I would love it.
you know why I can't? Because it's not al dente and it has to be fresh or it's not real Italian pasta.
A pizza box and a you know, make him a statue just with the chef kiss.
Yo, it was, you know, this country is so good at like gaslighting us. It was like, okay, we got rid of Columbus. Here's a statue of Chef Boyardee. Are you happy now? And it's just like, no.
You
didn't ask any of us.
Yeah. but there's like Italian like artists and scholars and all these like brilliant people that like so much beautiful art came out of Italy, and you're gonna put Columbus. Like, it is so funny though, because I can say the thing about the chef kiss, but when comedy used to happen, I would always be so like, I wasn't like offended, but I did think it was so dumb how like every person thought it was fine to be like, yeah. And then I went to a restaurant and I was like, ugh.
I Thank just you. Did an Italian accent. I'm so sorry.
No, but it's okay. I mean, I've been woo-wooing this whole time. I'm sure somebody's going to write in and be like, what?
Witchy woo. Yeah, on Wix. It's a witchy
All right. Imagining three women with pointy witch hats. Right?
This is not what the podcast is.
Oh, come on. Yes, it is. Now it is.
www.witchywoo.com as a Wix template is the funniest thing. I've laughed the hardest I've laughed in about a week. So fun.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Have you felt a guilt whenever you posted something that wasn't directly related to Black Lives right now?
Yes and no, but I also feel like you should not should. I'm gonna take out the word should because nobody should do anything. Okay. I've just tried to go with my gut.
Okay.
And my gut has told me, you know, you share this. Okay, maybe throw in like something cute because people also still want some relief and positivity. Like it's been okay being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have gone back and forth even before a lot of this happened, but definitely since the pandemic started, where I was like, well, it's like everyone's really in pain, but like I feel like this is a joyful thing. And those posts have gotten the most love because I think people are like, oh, there's hope.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's also this, like, it's almost like a comic that you can guilt-free root for. You go crazy. Because, like, there's no guilt involved in this. This is totally, like, oh, she's a queer Black woman. I can promote her, like, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Certain freedom when it's like, I can't, there's nothing that, I dare you to find something wrong with this. Even though the internet, like 100 people gave a thumbs down to Chappelle's, and I get it for different reasons, but like people always find a thing, but it's good when you can just unabashedly root for something like your pregnancy, right?
Yeah, like, cause I also, this is a very minor thing on the scale of what's going on now, but like on top of everything that's happening, we all also have our personal shit that was going on before everything hit the fan.
Tell me about it.
And, you know, my mental health got pretty good this fall.
Yeah.
And I need to maintain that.
First of all, congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm not saying it's process. Yeah, oh, it's been a very long process. And then being pregnant on top of that has brought up new feelings and anxieties and hormones. And, you know, it's a bummer to not see my family. And, you know, like, so I have, but that's my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like we gotta all work together and we gotta change the world. And I am doing as much as I can. And if there's more that I can do, I am open to suggestions as long as they're said to me kindly.
Right. The wrong way.
please, I'm so sorry. I'm just gonna start by saying I'm sorry because I am an Italian woman and I feel guilty about everything. But I'm so sorry. Everything's my fault. But I would say to anyone, you know, make sure you take care of your mental health, especially right now, whatever that means, because you will be useless in being an advocate or an activist or whatever if you are super depressed or suicidal or whatever it is. Like, you have to.
I think about that analogy of like trying to rescue people when you can't swim.
Yes.
You can't rescue people from drowning. It's just two people that's gonna drown.
It's like when you go on a plane and they say, like, you gotta put your oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put yours on first. Yes.
You have to. Like, and that's not, and I think what's hard is that with the internet, you know, and again, I understand the anger, but when people are like, you know, silence is complicit, or if you're not speaking up, and like, absolutely, if you're never speaking up, yeah, I notice.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's people who all they do is speak up. And I'm not talking about, I just want to make it very clear, Melissa, I am not talking about current issues.
Anything.
I'm just talking about in general. And sometimes you're like, do you not have a friend that you could run this tweet by first?
I just want to, I bet their group chats are live. If this is what the world is getting, I want to know what are they saying in private?
How can I get in on those group chats?
I need to know, like, your closest friend, because you don't have a bunch. If you talk like that on the internet, I don't think you have a bunch of close homies. So I want to know what you and that one other person are texting to each other if you're tweeting this.
But then you gotta wonder, like, because, you know, this is what people are saying. God, I'm like, which fucking issue do I go back to? But, like, you know, we're talking about predatory comedians and, like, did their friends know and whatever. Yeah. I mean, and I also feel that way about, like, people make art that is really offensive. Like, maybe they don't have any really good friends.
I don't think,
like,
so.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe all these people that we think are their friends are like comedy friends.
Which is a whole different thing.
Which is a whole different thing. It can
be a whole different thing.
It can. It becomes like dating. Like, I think about all the comic friends I've dated. We're like, we got coffee a couple times, but then it kind of faded, but we still like each other, but we're not close. Like, those people I don't think are going to call me out, but like, I am so fortunate because I have like a lot of very good, like, this is my family friend type of people.
Yeah.
And I know that if I ever did any bullshit, and this is including my husband, thank God, would be like, hey, but I also run things by people.
Right. I do as well. And it's always a good idea. Like, I've ran things by people and they said nah, and I did it anyway, and they made the right call.
Yeah, you know? And I used to think that I was weak for doing that. I used to be like, oh, Julia, you're being indecisive. Why don't you just be strong and just speak your mind? And I'm like, because it's really easy to get involved in the energy of it,
mm-hmm.
in the heat of it, and be like, yeah, I'm speaking my mind, and look at all these likes coming in, and then being like, oh, I don't even know if I meant that.
No, it's weird. Like, when you, whatever it may be, maybe it's getting a blue check mark, maybe it's just getting a bump in followers. It's weird to go into a different space, even if it's positive. Even if it's 100 people liking something on Twitter, I'm just like, I know how trash this website is, man. I'm not going to get too caught up in it because there's another side.
And you know when you're being yourself.
It's just like, even if you like one thing that I said, I don't want you to think I'm that person all the time. You know what I mean? It's almost like people thinking I'm going to be who I am on stage all the time. And it's just like, it's just self-consciousness of like this many strangers thinking they know me.
Well, but that is, you know, again, if I have to go back to what I love and what I hate about social media, the internet has made us all into brands. And, you know, like in real life, my conversations tend to be like, huh, I really feel this way. And then someone, if I respect them, will be like, but have you thought about this? And I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm not. All right. I got to think about this. I might text him the next day. I might text him a year from now.
The wild thing that I like about it might be generational too. Here's why I say that. I feel like this generation that's been protesting and fighting, they have a real clear-cut idea of what they consider right and wrong. And I think that has to do with social media, where it's okay to speak in absolutes. If you grew up in the Twitter era, like to say all men are trash, to say all this, if you ain't speaking in absolutes, you ain't speaking. Like, so they're like, this police brutality or police are wrong. We going out there and they don't have second thoughts about what they going against something that they feel is wrong. There's no nuance. They don't know about it.
Yeah.
Which I love and hate at the same time, because it's great when, yes, absolutely killing unarmed black people are wrong. But then there's also nuance with things that require it. I can't think of an example, but you know, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Just be clear, like, nope, this is wrong. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think I this kind of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, like history, right? History is facts. Right. I know facts are important. I think there are certain people in this world that have jobs that are fact-based, right? Like, if you're the president, you really should know facts, right? Right. I am a feeling person.
Okay.
You know, I love facts. I love information, but I am a huge like intuition person. That's why I like art. I get vibes about people. I'll be like, I don't trust this person. Right. Or I don't know. I know they've said that, but I don't fully believe that's who they are. And I'm not, but see that kind of energy that I just described, that's not what works online. You know what I mean?
It's not.
Me being like, I don't know, you guys. I have a feeling.
No one retweets nuance.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in my day-to-day, there's a lot of nuance. And that's when I have the most enjoyable conversations with people. It ebbs and it flows and you philosophize and you think. And again, like, there are definitely absolutes. Like I said, you don't kill people. You don't, you know, like...
wear a mask.
Yeah, like all this shit. I mean, you know, you asked me if there's anything I've learned. I mean, I've learned a lot, like reading all these posts about like what it means to be racist. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about my own implicit bias that I've experienced in my life. And, you know... yeah, it's, you can't escape it.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
we're going to button it right there. Taking a quick break and then we're going to the segment right here. You can't button it. That was a button. You can't, what'd you say? You can't escape it. Right here on Classic Black Dude with our guest, Julia Rozzi. I'm going to get to what I usually start the show with and maybe give some backstory on me and Julia. right after this commercial break. It'll probably be for a brand that I just learned about but highly endorse right here on Classic Black Dude. Okay. We did things in reverse. The first time, I have this uncanny ability to remember the first time I met everyone that I've ever met. And the first time I met Julia was obviously in New York. I feel like the first time I met you in person was actually when I did your show.
Oh, was it?
At the, in Greenpoint, the show that you and, who was it?
Brooke?
You and Brooke ran.
That was South Park Slope.
Yes. That was the first time I ever met her. And it's so funny because I know Will had been like, hey, you should have Clark on the show. I don't even know that he said that, but I know Will, and I'm sure he probably said, hey, you should have Clark on the show. And I bombed, and I just felt...
At my show?
I bombed when I did your show because I just did. I was working out. You know how that moment when you just killed at a show and you just like want to challenge yourself? You're like, all right, the next show, I'm just doing all this new shit. And I did a bunch of it, and that's a part of the process. But I felt bad because I saw Will look at you like, I didn't know he was going to do
material. Oh, he came to, I have the worst memory, Clark.
He was there. You know what show it was? It was one of those shows. He was there because he's the one who told me that, you know, to reach out about doing the show. And that was the first time I met you, and I just felt so shitty.
Oh, no.
I'm like, this isn't how I should be meeting my best friend's girlfriend.
No, but we weren't dating then.
I mean, but come on, it was headed.
No, he, on his behalf, but we didn't get together for like 6 months after that.
But you don't understand what Will was telling us. So he might have been telling you like, oh yeah, you know, we just hanging, you know what I mean? But to us, he was dating you almost instantly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
It was. Yeah. Your husband has loved you for a very long time.
Oh, that made me cry.
You learned just today. Will Miles was a day one.
I like how you went to commercial break right as I was talking about implicit bias, and I was probably going to admit something racist at that. You're like, let's cut to commercial.
I also editing. It's not just a self-edit.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Yeah.
That was the first time. And the funny thing is, Will he talked about you a lot, but this was being his first relationship. He keeps a lot of secrets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's secrets. He just doesn't verbalize stuff.
Yeah, or like even meeting you. Like it wasn't like, you know, it was almost like, yeah, I'm working on this thing separately from these people who have known me for a long time.
Mm.
I'll admit something to you on air. A lot of people would ask me as one of his closest friends, like, you know, what you think about Julia? Or what do you think? And I was like, I was just like, well, my friend is happy, and that's all I really care about. Anything beyond you were stealing money from him or trying to murder him in his sleep, like, I don't have to know how, you know what I'm saying?
Were people worried about him?
Well, because he kept you to himself in a certain way.
When
people would ask me because they figure I'd know. And I'm just like, all I know, this is what in the beginning, I would just ask, well, hey, man, you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. And that was it. That was all I needed. Because I don't need to, like guys, at least guys I know, I'm the type of guy, I don't have to know the details unless you want me to do something. You know what I mean?
I couldn't be more opposite. I would like literally text 5 girlfriends and be like, I don't know. What do you think about this?
No. Unless you need me to go rent a truck or do something crazy, I don't need to know if you got upset about this one, unless you're asking me. I'm not going to have to know. I just ask, hey, you still happy? Yeah, I'm still happy. And then that's it.
Well, we had a pretty easy, there's no drama. That's probably why.
Oh, okay. There's nothing to ask about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it's, you know, nothing's perfect, but like, wasn't like, it was a pretty easy flow courtship. I don't know, it was just really delightful.
Have you ever gotten funny looks for being an interracial couple?
In the beginning from my dad.
I did not expect you to say that.
But you know what's been so cool is that
the dinner table is so
what?
Just being sneered at the dinner table.
Oh no. He didn't sneer. He actually was he was surprisingly welcoming, and I think Will was actually a gift in a way because my dad we'll see if we keep this in the pod. But my dad is an example of someone who says things, but I know he doesn't mean them.
Oh, interesting.
Like, he's like, well, growing up, I was told, you don't date outside the race. And, you get a job, you get married, you shut up. You know, you just be happy, even if you're miserable. You know, like, he just, like, followed the rules that he was told. But you could tell that he didn't believe in them.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Living up to a masculine standard.
Yeah, he's an Italian immigrant who basically moved to this country and was told, literally, marry an Italian, have kids, shut up, and then you die. You know, you don't question it. And it's been really interesting to watch my parents, see me. I've been divorced, and that's like, what? You just stay with someone and suffer. And I'm like, no, I'm not really that happy. They're like, well, did something happen? I'm like, no, I'm just not happy.
I don't want to do this anymore.
They're like, but he seems like a good guy. I'm like, yeah, he was a great guy. I just wasn't happy. They're like, you can do that? You know, and like pursuing a job that's very confusing to explain.
It's so hard.
And me being like, just trust me. And like, it took a while,
but then
eventually it paid off.
Yeah.
And watching them be like, wait, you actually, how much did you get paid for that? And I'm like, see, I told you, just wait. And then it was really, yeah. And like, seeing them be like, well, we were told you're supposed to like marry an Italian and da, da, da. And then them like falling in love with my dad actually like asked me questions. Like he was like, so okay, so like let me get this straight, like okay, so like you both are okay with it and like his family's okay with it. Like he like really was curious about it. So that was really, my family was the only people that I cared about, and his family, not so much their approval.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted everyone to be as excited about it as we were.
Right.
And it was really interesting to watch my dad be like, I really like this guy. And I like that my daughter is happy. Why am I a little uncomfortable? And I just never really seen him as a 76-year-old man, like, unpack what he had been taught.
It's a wild thing to see.
It was beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's wild to see your parents learn something.
Oh my God, they've learned. I'm so proud of them.
Or even unlearn certain things.
Yes. Or just be like, wait, hold on. So, because I think, okay, I hope I say this the way I want to. I think sometimes people hold on to certain beliefs. Because if they admit that those beliefs are wrong, it makes them depressed that they didn't challenge them.
Sure.
So for my dad to be like, hold up, you mean this whole time I could have married whoever I wanted, divorced whoever I wanted, done any career I wanted,
right,
traveled the world if I wanted, and I would have turned out okay like my daughter? That hurts to know. Mm-hmm. As you're getting older,
yeah,
that you had choice.
On this fine Father's Day, On this fine Father's Day, it's funny that you bring that up because I'm always coming from the mindset that, yo, if I make it as a comedian, my dad can be anything but proud.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I found out, kind of like with your dad, he found a way. You can make a career out of following your artsy profession. Because it's all fine as long as I'm a struggling comedian, or, you know, because that's what he was told it could only be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, becoming a successful comedian, that's like winning the lottery. And it's not. It's really just not stopping at some point. Especially if you have talent and passion for it. So, like,
and also deciding what success means.
Right. And so to see that, like, I'm in a position where I'm thankful. I don't have to ask for certain help because it's not there also. But to see that self-sufficiency can happen without me being, because everybody thinks you're only doing well if you're a household name. So many people who aren't in comedy believe that idea.
Yeah.
Like, you're either Martin Lawrence or Marcus Lawrence. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
I know my mom will always call. She'll be like, oh, I saw this comedian, a woman on The Real Talk, The Real, on The View. And I'm like, yeah, everyone has different goals.
It's options within the yeah. It's so many ways to go about this thing.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to do a quick word association game. We do like three or four. I'll just say a word, throw it out there, and you just tell me your immediate take on it.
Okay.
So everything against what we just said with nuance. This time we're making snap judgments.
Damn. All right. I'm scared.
You should be. No, I'm just playing.
I just don't want to ever upset anyone. I'm sorry if anything I ever said hurt. Okay.
We'll start easy. Cooking shows.
Delicious. Am I just to say one word?
No, it could be a whole take.
Oh, what do I think of cooking shows?
Yeah.
I think it's a fun concept, but I don't think I've ever learned to cook anything from a cooking show.
Okay. Zoom comedy.
I want to hate it, but I've done okay on it.
Okay. Okay, we're going to ramp it up a little bit. Having a kid in 2020.
One of the only things that's giving me hope.
Okay. Joe Biden is president.
Fine. Okay. please, okay. I'm fine.
Fine is passing.
Yeah.
We're not gonna get crazy on this because I want to keep the whole interview. I don't want to edit anything. Yeah, we'll leave it on that.
Fine. Yeah, that was. Please vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Please vote.
It was at least fine at minimal. Where can people find you?
Julia Rozzi is with a G. I'm sure you'll spell it out. But Twitter, it's just Julia Rozzi. Instagram, it's Ms. Julia Rozzi, because there's a Julia in Italy who hasn't posted since 2013.
It's Obama's presidency.
I'll be working on something eventually soon. I just got to have this baby and figure out when I can leave the house.
Thank you so much for doing it. Thank you so much. Can you see Mrs. Roper real quick?
Oh, yeah. She's asleep.
Oh, she's hiding.
Yeah, she's on a blanket that looks just like her.
That's beautiful. Congratulations. Baby Thank next you, month. Clark. Congratulations not on that, but just everything you've done career-wise so far. It's been
Thank
great.
Thank you. Clark, you too. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you all. Clark Jones, a.k.a. Pod Strickland. This has been Classic Black Dude. Make sure you go ahead and like that like button. Go ahead and smash that smash button. And I'm going to go buy the domain for witchywoowoo.wix. And thank you. Keep listening. Keep supporting. And take care of yourselves. Thank you. Bye.